Well, so much for my sermon. It was all in song. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Jehoshaphat, a king, a good guy, most of the time. But that's true of most of us, too. We're pretty good people, at least I am. I don't know about you, but, you know, we'll count you in too, most of the time. We have our faults. We always speak of that. In fact, usually people dwell on their faults. A lot of the good things and the good things about them you don't hear, but they're quick to tell you sometimes that, you know, I have a fault or two. Jehoshaphat was a man who walked in the ways of David. But he made mistakes, and we talked about those mistakes last week. The particular mistake that really set a course of action on fire was his alliance with Ahab, the king of Israel, who was not a good guy. And so bad company corrupts character. And God said, don't make alliances with the evil. God has nothing to do with Satan. We're not on the same team. We're not going the same direction. We don't have the same agenda. And good things are not going to come by you having an alliance with evil. So, when Ahab said, let's go to war together. We've got a common enemy. At least I have an enemy. Would you help me? Joshua said, well, you know, I'm one with you. We're partners. We're in this together. Let's lock arms. Let's go get them. However, maybe we should ask the Lord. So he brought in his 400 prophets. And what did they say? Why, of course. Go out and go to war and be victorious. So God is with you. And we said they didn't use the word Jehovah. They used the word Elohim. And Joshua had said, well, you know, that's 400 votes, but isn't there one more? Well, there's one other guy, and his name's Micaiah, but he's not very friendly. He never says anything good about me, and I hate him. Well, bring him in anyway. So they brought him in, and he said, well, go out to war. Ahab said, now, wait a minute, tell me the truth. Well, he says, the truth of the matter is, I see Israel without a shepherd. I see the people scattered. In other words, Ahab, you're not going to live through this. You know, they made fun of him. They slapped him. And they put him in prison. And you'd think if you were the king Jehoshaphat, who had requested such a person to come, after hearing what he had to say and hearing and seeing what they did to him, what would you have done? Would you not have backed out of the deal? No. Because sometimes these alliances are family. And this was family. And so he followed through. And we found him out on the battlefield in his royal garbs. And everybody's out to get him because they think he's the king of Israel. And it's God who protects him. It's God who keeps them from getting him. But they turn and send a random arrow in the direction of Ahab, and lo and behold, it goes right through the small part of his vulnerable armor, and he's wounded and ultimately dies. Micaiah said, you are going to die. God has decreed it. God decrees something, usually happens. You know, God has decreed it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You think you're going to miss that appointment? I don't think so. It's decreed. So here we are, Jehoshaphat's returning home. He's in spite of his making a mistake, he's still alive. And then comes this. This is chapter 19. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returns safely to his palace in Jerusalem. So you've been out and about. You've had a rough time. And this rough time is a result of you making a mistake and things have gone sour. And but you've finally gotten through it and you're making it home. And there's someone here to greet you. His name is Jehu. And he says, I have a question for you. Oh, okay. I'm ready. What's the question? Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Quickly, give me an answer. What would your answer be? Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Oh, he says, because of this, God's not happy with you. The wrath of God is upon you. However, there's a but. However, there is some good in you. That's good, isn't it? For you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking the Lord. This is 19 verse 3. You have set your heart on seeking the Lord. So the Lord sees past the action to the very motive. God sees past what you've done to the very heart of the matter. And in spite of a pothole here, in spite of making a mistake that would have cost you your life had it not been for God protecting you, you would have died. You're alive. And God is still with you because He's seen and knows your heart. Now, if you're here today and you're here and it's all a sham and it's all a facade and it's just kind of going through the motions and yeah, I've been in church, that's good. God's supposed to mark that down on my behalf and put it on the good side of my ledger. Let's be clear here. God knows your heart. He is not fooled. And He says of Jehoshaphat, he has a heart that seeks the Lord. So Jehoshaphat, we hope, has learned a lesson. Let's see if he's learned a lesson. The first thing he does when he gets back, he says, verse 5, he appointed judges in the land, and he told them to do this. Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for man, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Judge carefully. For with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. So he's quick to tell the judges their instructions. This is the king speaking of how they are to judge and how they are to behave. And he says, our God, there is no injustice, there's no partiality, there's no bribery. If you're going to preach it, you better what? You with me? What do we say? Practice it? Practice what you preach? Sure. So Jehoshaphat is preaching here. Does he practice it? Then farther down, he takes some Levites and priests and heads of the Israelite families, and he again puts them in charge to administer the law, and he gives them these orders. You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord in every case that comes before you from your fellow countrymen who live in the cities, whether bloodshed or other concerns of the law, commands, decrees, or ordinances. You are to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, His wrath will come on you and your brothers. Do this, and you will not sin. Here again, we have very clear instructions of what the king expects, but what the Lord is looking for. Must have learned a lesson. Chapter 20. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites, which are really Edomites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. So there's a coalition. There's a vast army. They've come together and they're marching on Jehoshaphat. Verse 3 just starts with one word, alarmed. Well, why not? He's alarmed. What's he going to do? Well, is he going to practice what he preaches? Is he going to do as he told the others to do in their service to the Lord and their relationship to God and their accountability to God? What's the king going to do? Because he's got a major problem here. This is a vast army and it's already on the move. He resolved to inquire of the Lord and he proclaimed a fast through all of Judah. And the people came together to help from to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And he stands up and he makes a speech. This is one of the great sermons, speeches, kingly proclamations, probably in the scriptures. Let's read it. Hope you'll stay with me for a moment. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and built it in a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. When distress comes, where do you go? They went, says, we're going to go to the Lord. But now, here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And what's a song that we sing? Turn your eyes upon. You know the song, don't you? And all the men of Judah and their wives and their children and their little ones stood before the Lord. And the Spirit came on Jehaziel, and he says this, and I hope as I read this section here, see if there's something here that sounds, boy, I've heard that before, kind of statement. Am I having trouble? Where is this thing? There it is. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Now, it's not the king speaking. God is speaking. When God speaks, you be quiet. When God speaks, we stand in awe and reverence. When God speaks, we are all ears. When God speaks, there's no negotiations. When God gives directions, we obey them. When God gives stop signs, we don't blow through them. We found that out last week. That when God gives us instructions and we say, well, I'm going to ignore those instructions and have those alliances that God said not to have, why would we expect to God bless such a relationship? It's not going to happen. God says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. I think I would. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert Jerul. God knows exactly where they're at, too. That must be one of those satellites he has, right? Zeros right down on you, and you can see people getting in and out of their cars. You will not have to fight this battle. Here comes this. Does this sound familiar? Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord that he will give you. Is there anything familiar about that? Can you think of another instance that we covered not too long ago? Because you were here and you listened to all those sermons. You remember all that, right? Sure we do. We have to be reminded over and over again because it's so easy to forget. But these are the words of Moses at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's bearing down. There's the sea. There's the wilderness. We're boxed in. What do? He says, stand still and see the deliverance of God. Same words. Only here it is the Lord speaking them through His prophet. And He's saying, stand firm, see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. The Lord will be with you. What's Jehoshaphat's response? What's he going to do? Well, this is where we practice what we preach. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And some of the Levites, after they had been down on the ground, they stood up and they praised God with a very loud voice. They didn't sharpen their swords. They didn't say, where's my shield? I can't find it. Oh, my helmet's in the closet somewhere. They weren't looking for what they needed as instruments of war. They were worshiping. Because the battle isn't
theirs. We've got to work it out and make it
much
happen.
Much of the time in the Christian life,
we never learn how to trust God.
Our failures in this matter, you're going to face a vast army for which you do not have the resources. You could not possibly win if you go out on your own strength. But here's what I want you to do. Stand still and watch. And see how I take care of matters. Early in the morning, they left at the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Here's a good sermon. This breaks right out. See how it speaks to you. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. After consoling the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise Him for His splendor of holiness. And as they went out, the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Did I read that too fast? Probably did. I read it fast because I wanted a chance to slow it down and say something. You're ready to go to battle. We're making the grand speech of getting everybody roused up and ready to go. Get on board. Let's all be together. Let's go confront the enemy. And someone says, well, what do we need? Do I need a sword? Do I need a shield? Do I need a helmet? No, what you need is a hymn book. How does that compute with going to war? Well, ask Gideon in the old, when he put together a fairly good sized army, and God says, you got too many, and he reduced it. And God says, you still got too many, and he reduced it. And it got down to 300 against the Midianites. It says they were like grasshoppers. There were so many of them. And Gideon only has 300, and instead of getting swords and things like that, he says, what you need is a pitcher and a torch and a trumpet. He could have just as well said, go get a hymn book. Because God isn't dependent upon those instruments of war. Gideon could just as well face the Midianites with a hymn book if the Lord had decreed it. You see what I'm saying? The battle is God's. He defines the parameters of it. The enemy, no matter how vast they are, they have no clue what the God of Israel, Jehovah, is going to do to save His people. And we don't either. So we trust Him. We stand still and we watch the salvation of God. And God says, in this case, what you need is a worship team. And you send them out in front. I'm glad I'm not on the worship team. See? Preachers come last. Push the worship team out there in front. And let them come over the ridge and face that vast army. Well, that's exactly what we're doing here. We send the choir out to fight the army, the battle. And I like verse 22, and I don't know how your Bible reads it, because there's different renderings of it, but it says, as they began to sing. Or, if you have maybe King James, it'll say, at that moment. Right then, when they started singing, God started acting. When they started praising, God started doing what he was going to do, because the battle is his. When they put their trust in God in such a way that says, all we've got are hymn books, but brother, we're marching and we're going straight at them. God then causes the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir were invaded, that they were defeated. They started, well, they kind of looked at the guys from Edom and said, you know what? I think they have a they have an agenda here. And so the Moabites and Ammonites rose up and to destroy and annihilate them. And then in the course of all of that, they got in an argument between themselves. And in the end, they all annihilated each other. And all we've got is a pile of bodies. And who comes over the ridge? The people with the hymn books. It says when they got over the ridge, where the army was, singing as they go, singing with loud voices, they come over the hill, and what do they see? They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. They never swung a sword. They never engaged an enemy in any sort. All they did was praise God. You see, our worship and our praise means something to God. Our prayers are like sweet incense to the Lord. God looks out for his children. He protects them. He fortifies them. He fights for them. You and I, as children of God, we have no clue, really, how much God has done in your behalf and is doing on your behalf. You don't know how far out in front of you he is already sorting out some things. And what little bit we encounter in life by way of temptations or troubles or trials, God says, why don't you bring those to me? Instead of trying to paddle your own canoe until you're right near the edge of Niagara Falls and say, Lord, here's the paddle, you try. No, we need to learn how to take our troubles to the Lord on the front end. And God is guaranteed that what we do face is not going to be beyond what we're able to handle. It may challenge us. It may help build character in us. One thing it's going to bring to our minds is, I don't have the resources, I don't have the resolve, I don't have the understanding and the wisdom to handle all of life's difficulties, and life is going to keep coming and coming and coming, and I need to learn how to sing and praise and trust God. And God is listening. And at that moment when they began to sing, things began to happen. They're all dead. Jehoshaphat and his men tried to carry off the plunder. There was so much plunder, it took them 3 days just to collect it. Now, they hadn't put in for that. That was extra. You know, God throws in some extra perks. He may forgive you of your sins. He may say, you know, I'm putting your name in my book and you're my child. But you know, all the peace and the joy and all the blessings of each and every hour and every day that you have in the presence of the Lord here on this earth is kind of like an extra perk. It's just a warm-up, start-up, get ahead for what God has for you for eternity in heaven. Thank him for every sunrise. Thank him for every sunset. Thank you for every breath you take. It's an extra perk. The perks here, there was so much, it took 3 days to get them. And so on the fourth day, they kind of assembled in the Valley of Berakah. Well, what is the Valley of Berakah? Well, it says it's called the Valley of Berakah to this day. For what reason? It's the place they praised God. It's the valley of praise. Do you think this ought to be the house of praise? You think that fits? Well, it ought to fit, should it not? Shouldn't the praises of God be sung here with gusto and loud voice and praise because God is with us? Jehoshaphat and all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. Did you notice how often we see the word joy, rejoice and joy in all of this? How do you get that in a war? Wars don't usually bring joy and rejoicing and things like that. It does here. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets and violins. Oh, it doesn't say that. But it works for me. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest from every side. You want peace? You want rest? You want joy? You're only going to find it when you walk with the Lord. So stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and He will fight for you, and He will lift you up, and He will praise you in His courts as children of God, and in turn you will bless His name in how you live. And it's not just how you do, it's where is your heart? How is it set? Because God looks at the heart. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have bountiful blessings that they're just beyond understanding. And yet, Lord, we know that you are such a God of love and grace and mercy that knows no boundaries. And Lord, even in mistakes, we know that you're still there with us, calling us back. Sometimes having to call attention to those errors, but Lord, in our return to you, we always find forgiveness. We always find joy. We always find the comforts that only you can give. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this morning. May we praise your name forever and give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.